It's time!
You guys silly? I'm still gonna send it.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Half Athlete Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I don't play sports anymore. Write about them, talk about them on the radio. Mentally, I'm an athlete. I understand what's going on the field or the court. But physically, I am just a guy. Joining me in studio, a former tight end for the POU football team, used to wear 87. His name is DJ Winter. DJ, how are you doing?
I'm good. Got my day off to a great start with a good workout, good class, and now kind of hitting the tail end of the day, so almost weekend.
What are you working out for? You don't have to anymore. What are you doing that for?
I still got to stay fit, man. Ran 3 miles yesterday and did a little circuit.
For what? Did you ever run 3 miles when you were in season?
Nope.
What are you running 3 miles for?
Just, that right there.
Just logic. Just because.
Oh, interesting. So we got a runner now. He goes from a tight end to a runner, just like that. Also joining me is Seth Bershing. Seth, how are you?
I am doing just fine, Christian. I got a little bit of a spring fever going on, though, since we're finally starting to get some sunshine.
Yeah, it's so nice outside right now.
I'm totally digging this weather, though.
Yeah, I think it is going to be a good spring as far as weather is concerned. It's been 2 weeks since we talked to the people. You guys do anything in that time?
Just a lot of still grinding on capstone and getting everything ready. Just school's starting to pick up here, so getting in the flow of things.
I hear that. Seth, you do anything over those long 2 weeks?
I have not had like any homework this whole semester until yesterday and today, and now I have a whole bunch due in just the next week. And then the rest of the semester I probably will not have very much.
Well, enjoy it, because let's see, we didn't come at you last week because we all were a little bit busy, bogged down. I did 16 basketball broadcasts in 3 days, and then I capped it with a 3-game series here at POU. So we were just a little busy during that time.
Hey, that's totally understandable. Who won the 3A game? Who ended up winning
3A what?
The boys?
Game. Yeah. Garfield.
In overtime or?
I think it did go to overtime. Okay. I don't even think it should have gone to overtime. I think like Trey Anderson got fouled on a shooting foul that wasn't a shooting foul. They just made all three free throws, and then Garfield just pulled away at the end. Garfield was better than Beach anyway. Yeah. There you go. There's your high school basketball for the show.
That's a good plug.
We're out of it. We're over it. If you like what you're listening to and you want to hear more of it, more of the things we've done in the past, maybe even check out the Bucket Talk Baseball podcast. That's over there on the YouTube page. Type in Half Athlete Radio on YouTube and go ahead and subscribe to the page. Trying to get jobs out here, and maybe someone will hire me because we have X amount of subscribers. So
there you go.
Hook it up. If you want to listen to full version of the show, you can do it at massmedia.pou.edu. Check us out there. Good resource to listen to the show in its entirety. And if you want to call us and talk to us about anything that's happened in the Seattle sports world over the last week, there's been quite a few things happening.
Yeah.
You can do it 253-535-7332. Again, our phone number, it's 253-535-7332. Last time we talked about the changes in the Seattle Seahawks organization. And at the time, a lot of coaching changes going down, correct?
Yes.
That changed as the changes have continued. Change. On Wednesday, the Seahawks traded Michael Bennett and a 7th-round pick to the Philadelphia Eagles for a 5th-round pick and wide receiver Marcus Johnson. Details on Johnson, I had no idea who he is. He's fast. He ran a 4.3 40.
You want some stats here real quick?
23-year-old wide receiver. And Jonah, my little brother, told me yesterday that he's recently baptized. So there's your fun facts for Marcus Johnson.
Okay.
The new Seahawk wide receiver dealt in the Michael Bennett trade. What do y'all think? Michael Bennett gone. Not a Seahawk anymore.
I think, it's just a case of we had to unload him because, frankly, he didn't produce last year, and I think there's a reason for that. His snaps, the year that the Seahawks won the Super Bowl, his snaps were at around 500. That was like 50% or 54% of the snaps. And then the last 2 years, I think they've both been above 700 snaps. And his production has just kind of stayed the same. So in reality, that's a dip in production. So I think he was getting old. I still think he has one or two good more years in him. But it was time to get young for the Hawks.
Seth, your thoughts on the Seattle Seahawks trading away Michael Bennett to the Philadelphia Eagles?
Well, I know he had a lot of foot troubles the last number of years now, so I'm not sure that he's really played at 100% for the last couple seasons now. So I'm all right with this trading him now, because I'm not sure his value is going to get any higher than it is now. I think if anything, it's only going to fall further.
Yeah, I would have liked to maybe see him get... They still don't have a second or third round pick, which I don't know now. I don't know if you want to get rid of Earl Thomas and just go completely young, like you said a couple weeks ago, Christian. Yes, they are going to release Richard Sherman once the new NFL season starts. So, I mean, you got to... I'm still going to stick strong to this. You got to have somebody kind of teach those guys how to play in the back end.
Then what are the coaches there for? Teach. Yeah. I'm going to say the same thing I did. First of all, I'm a little surprised that no one in here is mad about the Michael Bennett trade. You're all coming in, yeah, that makes sense. We're younger now. No one's upset that a cornerstone of the Super Bowl team is gone. No one's mad at that.
He wasn't very good anymore.
Wow. Wow, build on that. Keep talking, Seth.
I'm a little underwhelmed with the return that we got. I mean, a fifth-round pick, but we also had to give up a seventh-round pick to get him. So that's really not much of a return. And I believe this Marcus Johnson guy had 5 total catches last year for the Eagles, if I read that right.
Yep.
So he's been a non-factor for however many years he's been in the league.
Even in college, like that Marcus Johnson kid, he's only had, in 2013, he only had 22 receptions and 11 games played. 2014, 27 catches with 13 games played, and only 12 receptions his senior year with 10 games played. So, I mean, he's never really been the guy or the go-to guy. Like, even at Texas, yes, that's a high Division I program. But I don't know, maybe...
If I had to guess, I would guess that probably means they're moving on from Paul Richardson, who's a free agent right now.
Mm-hmm.
Probably he's going to end up taking Richardson's spot.
And who knows, maybe Pete Carroll and John Schneider, they've been famous for this, with finding like Sherman, Bobby Wagner was a lower draft pick. Guys like that, they've been known to do their homework and find those players, or like diamonds in the rough, if you will.
Give us a call, 253-535-7332. Tell us what you think about the roster changes the Seahawks have started to make. We don't know if they're all completely over yet. Again, 253-535-7332. I think that, DJ, you mentioned that Michael Bennett might have, you know, one or two more good years left in him. If the Seahawks waited any longer, they probably couldn't have made this trade.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it makes sense now.
Yeah.
They're also going to save $21 million over the next 3 years in Michael Bennett. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, there's the motivation for making the move. And yeah, I think that it makes all the football sense in the world, but still, little surprise, no emotional tie from either of you guys about, oh, Michael Bennett's gone. Did he wear thin on you?
I don't want to say wore thin. I mean, with the political climate that was the NFL this year, I was just kind of, you know, eventually I got over it, and it was just like, oh, okay, yeah, it's just another thing. So that wasn't a factor at all. Like Seth mentioned, like I was a little underwhelmed by his performance this year. It wasn't the greatest. It was still, you know, upper tier, not the greatest level of defensive ends. But I think if it was, you know, maybe a year or two ago that they traded him, I would be a little more stunned. Right. But like you said, yeah, I'm good with the move that they made. I understand there's more moves that have to be made this offseason.
Seth, you Michael Bennett wear thin on you? Are you happy to see him go? Or there's no emotional tie? You guys all come out of the football, oh, this is fine, this makes sense, but there's no backlash from it?
I'm a little indifferent, I guess I would say. He was a very good player the first couple years that he was in Seattle, but these last 2 years, really this last year, he just didn't seem to have any explosiveness. He was not as disruptive on run defense and didn't record nearly as many sacks either, or total tackles. So the production was definitely decreasing. And like you said, Christian, if they didn't make this trade now, they were probably going to be stuck with him for the next
however many years, with the $21 million.
Yeah, 3 years, $21 million would have been tough to overcome. Yeah, no. Yeah. Michael Bennett is a Philadelphia Eagle. Seahawks get pretty much just a fifth round draft pick in return. So,
and who knows? Maybe Marcus Johnson will do something.
Who knows? You never know.
Yeah.
Another move the Seahawks made that came down today, Friday, March 9th. The Seahawks announced that they will release cornerback Richard Sherman. Talk about this one. Sherman gone, saving about $11 million, I believe, if I've heard that right,
yep,
from cap space. So another money-motivated move. Sherman coming back. It will be coming back from a torn Achilles.
Yes.
Which has to hurt like none other.
He's had surgery on both of them now this offseason.
So what do you think? Richard Sherman gone. Makes sense. Not even a trade.
Yeah,
just done.
Let me make my point more clear of what I was trying to say like 2 weeks ago when I mentioned, you know, keep some players around to kind of mentor the young guys. And I said it at the beginning of this show. In my opinion, I don't think they should move Earl Thomas now that they have released or are going to release Sherman. It does save you $11 million. It does give you a little freedom to go out and maybe make a signing here or there. You'll have Shaquille Griffin back, and I believe, you know, bring Byron Maxwell back on a cheaper contract, and I think you could live with those guys because a free safety, in my opinion, is more important than a cornerback, because if the ball's in the air, Earl Thomas has great instincts and can break on the ball like that. And so I think it's another great move. It was bound to happen sooner or later.
Seth, what do you think? Richard Sherman cut by the Seattle Seahawks today.
As it stands now, I'm disappointed because Sherman was a flashier player, but also an elite player. So I think me, like a lot of Seattle fans, had an emotional attachment to Sherman. So I hate to see him leave Seattle. But from a team perspective, I think we can survive in our secondary if they hold on to Earl Thomas. But I'll be really disappointed if they don't use the cap space that they're saving with this roster move to re-sign guys like Sheldon Richardson or Jimmy Graham.
I don't think we should bring Jimmy Graham back. I don't think he fits our system really well. I agree with Sheldon Richardson. I think we should bring him back. But Jimmy, I think we got to let Jimmy go.
Yeah, it's interesting. Definitely a lot more money. It's another situation where a player's antics may be away from the field, how he dealt with people. I mean, is it a situation? He did get into some trouble. Talking about Richard Sherman and his antics. Did he wear thin on either of you guys? Maybe not this last year. He was a little bit more clean, a little bit more of a decent guy. Except towards the end of the year, he had a tweet kind of destroying the fans that was just not fun to read and kind of mind-blowing.
I didn't see that tweet.
Dude, it was ugly.
What did it say?
Something about you should be grateful that the Seahawks have been so good for so long, and instead of criticizing what they've been up to. It's like, okay, dude,
calm down.
But this is another situation where Richard Sherman, did he wear thin on you? Are you happy? Seth has already talked about it. He's not real happy to see him leave. Yeah. What about you?
I am sad to see him leave because he kind of grew up here and we saw him kind of mature into that star cornerback that he is today. It does suck. You know, eventually you have to let guys go, and this has been something that has made the Patriots so good, is they're willing to let their guys go when it comes time. You know, the saying is father time always wins, and right now it's getting the best of Richard Sherman. He didn't wear thin on me. I loved his antics, especially all the trash talking. I like that kind of style of play, and I thought that kind of brought energy to the team, and he was kind of the heartbeat of that defense for a while. So definitely sad to see him leave. I think he did wear thin on the coaches just because they were having to deal with the media and everything, so that could be a problem or an issue that arose. But as for me, he didn't wear thin on me.
I think if he had played for any other team in the NFL, I would adamantly oppose everything that Sherman is.
Yep.
But because he's been a Seahawk for 7 years now, of course, we all have an attachment to him. He's been the best cornerback in the NFL. The most interceptions in that time span, I believe most forced fumbles. He's up there in total tackles by corners. It's hard to let a guy like that go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd agree with you. I think objectively looking at it, Seth, I thought that his personality in the beginning of his time in Seattle, Richard Sherman this being, was refreshing. It was new. It wasn't the cookie cutter.
Sure.
Same thing you get from every other player. But as time wore on, Richard Sherman, as the mouth of the Seahawks defense, talked so much that it almost became more fun to watch the Seahawks get theirs instead of live up to whatever he said. Like, they became so easily hateable because of his mouth.
Yeah, totally. And that's what made it so fun for us fans, is like everybody hated us.
Right, so you're embracing that as like, this is fun. I like being
exactly
a fan of this team that is like that. I was on the other end. I was like, dude, I can't stand these guys.
Really?
I was happy to see.
And I mean, you can get away with it as long as you're winning, but
this
last year they had a lot of adversity. They didn't really overcome the adversity, and so there was a lot of backlash. You saw that in their locker room. They had a lot of different issues between
the
players and coaches.
They weren't performing up to standards. Yep, totally.
So let's go ahead and jump to a break. Let us know what you think down in the comment section on the Half Athlete Radio YouTube page. Michael Bennett and Richard Sherman, they're gone. They're not Seahawks anymore, and it's interesting time here in Seattle as we'll look to the future, maybe in a couple weeks from now, and see what the Seahawks have done or what they're going to do with their decisions, because they got to come up clutch again like they did in 2012 with that draft. I mean, they really have to find the players who can turn out like Richard Sherman and Michael Bennett and other players like that did
for the club. Their average for picks has been down the last couple of years, so it's time they have another breakout season with that draft.
They need it. All right, we're going to head to the break. We come back. It's springtime, like we talked about in the open, and talk a little POU softball, talk a little POU baseball. What's going on the diamonds here on campus? Don't go anywhere. It's Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio.
I heard about a shooting involving a 3-year-old girl over the summer. My daughter Riley is that age.
There was a point when I felt that I was going to die.
My parents used to always say a bullet doesn't have a name on it.
Someone put a bullet in the back of my 14-year-old son's head.
The gun should never be an option.
We're Americans. We don't have to live like this.
We can all make a difference.
In the United States, 88 people die of gun violence every day.
We can end gun violence.
Welcome back to Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond, POU's Half Athlete. Mentally, I'm an athlete. Physically, I'm just a guy. Joined in studio by DJ Winter, former tight end for the POU football team, and Seth Bershing. Man, if you want to call in and talk to us, you can do it 253-535-7332. Again, our phone number is 253-535-7332. Check us out on YouTube, Half Athlete Radio. On YouTube, you can see clips of the show there, as well as other outside projects that I've been working on and others have been working on. Always
mainly
a great place. Always a great place to check out some content. And as always, massmedia.pou.edu. That's where you can check out the full version of the shows. Spring sports are underway here at Pacific Lutheran University. Let's talk about the softball team first. They're off to a 7-7 start, going 2-2 in Northwest Conference play. DJ, as the head groundskeeper down there on the diamond, tell us what we need to know about the softball team.
By the way, if you guys want to check out that greatly written article, it's on GoLutes.
GoLutes.com, feature on the field crew.
Is that on the softball team home? Or
probably on the softball team.
Okay, it's on the softball team home. It's written by a great guy. He goes here. His name is Christian Bond.
Pretty good looking.
But anyways, you mentioned 2-2 in the Northwest Conference play. I know they went down to Arizona this past weekend, but really when it comes down to it, the conference play is bigger. And both of those two losses, they had a ton of errors, and it was only like one half inning where they had those errors, but those errors were costly, and they led to runs for Lewis and Clark, which was their opponent that weekend. I think the key going forward for them will be how many errors they got to keep the errors to a minimum, or else, you can't afford to have Marissa keep throwing extra pitches and wearing out that arm, because eventually the batters are going to catch up to her fastballs and going to be able to make contact. But one player I want to spotlight is she's a freshman infielder from Puyallup. Again, Puyallup has been very prevalent here on the show lately. But she's batting .477 right now with 7 doubles, and a slugging percentage of .636. I talked to assistant coach Ron Balmer, and he really is high on her. And I believe if she can keep it going, batting in the 4 spot, I think right now, then she can knock in some runs and be a key contributor on Duluth's offense.
I'll highlight another player. We got Anna Overland.
She's good.
Batting .325 this year thus far. Two home runs. I believe the only player on the team with any homers.
Mm-hmm.
And also leading the team in RBIs with 12.
Yeah, she is really good. And in that weekend alone, I think she hit three off the fence. So, I mean, she's right there.
Couple good players stroking it for the POU softball team. DJ, it's funny you talked about errors, because as we jump over to the POU baseball team, it's really been something that's hindered them throughout the early part of their season. The POU baseball team graduated 11 seniors, capped by a legitimate all-everything second baseman in Landon Packard. He's back as a coach, but it's definitely a different role. And team's off to a 6-8 start, going 4-2 in conference play, so a decent record in conference play. But they're definitely getting used to having different players in different positions. Austin Gormley is the team's shortstop, and he leads the club with 8 errors. And it's no secret that they've been hurting themselves throughout the early part of this season.
Mm-hmm.
In the game, they had a 3-game series against Linfield last weekend to the POU baseball team. And game one, final score 8-6 in favor of the Wildcats. POU allowed 4 unearned runs in that one.
See, errors are killer.
And that's
killer.
Yeah, that would have been the difference of taking the series 2-3,
yeah,
as opposed to losing 2 out of 3. So,
mm-hmm.
Tough deal when you're making errors.
Yeah, exactly. One player I want to highlight is senior catcher Jacob Bockley. I got to catch up with him a little bit in the weight room, and he says, you know, if we can get in that top four, and then that's all it takes. Get in the postseason tournament and see what kind of run you can make. Right now, he's batting .383 on the season with 16 RBIs and 16 walks. I want to highlight that 16 walks because, you know, if you're getting on base, that ups your chance of scoring. And so that's really what it's all about. That's really what the Mariners are focusing on right now. We'll get to them a little later. But he needs to hit a lot of dingers, as you said, Christian, in the break in order for the Lutes to be able to score runs. Because if they do keep making errors, they're going to need all the runs they can get.
Speaking of Jacob Bockley dingers, go ahead and go over to golutes.com, find game 2 of that Linfield series, and watch him hit a 3-run walk-off dingle bingle to win it for
dingle
the Lutes.
Bingle. Mm.
It was a massive shot hit halfway up the flagpole in right center field. He legitimately hit the flagpole and won the game for his team all in one swing. So
yeah.
Wow.
It's pretty sweet. Go check that out.
Yeah. That was a 3-run dinger too, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I went back and actually watched it. That was a shot and a half.
Absolutely.
Or I saw it on Instagram, so.
Absolutely.
That still counts.
Any thoughts, Seth?
Just another player to highlight. I'll highlight another slugger. We've got Cole Johnson batting .308. Also drawn a lot of walks, 8 walks thus far. Leading the team in home runs and RBIs, 3 homers, 18 ribbies already in the 14 games that they played. So definitely contributing to their offense.
Cole Johnson's my guy. He's last year was a honorable mention as a utility player for what he did at first base and on the mound. He's a huge fan of Batman. Like, legitimately has 170 comic books, like 50 t-shirts. He's got his favorite thing right now is his Batman mug. Says it's perfect for ice cream. Dude's a character. Love Cole Johnson. He's the best.
Didn't he transfer here too from Wazoo?
Yes, Wazoo transfer.
Okay.
He can play.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see going forward for both teams. Both of them, I think, have a legit shot to go to that postseason tournament.
Yeah, like you said from Jacob Bockley, they just kind of got to get in and see if they can get hot at the right time. Just as an observer over the last 3 years of POU baseball, it seemed like the 2015 team definitely got hot at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
That's crucial, I think, on the baseball diamond.
Yeah.
The 2016 group might have been better than the 2015 group, but the 2015 group was playing their best baseball when they needed to and made a deep run into regionals, whereas 2016, better group of players, but they kind of fell off towards the end of the year. So we'll see how this year plays out.
Yeah.
Kind of a slow start for them, so maybe they'll ride it on.
Maybe they'll get hot. Who knows?
What do they have to finish in the conference in order to make postseason?
I believe it's just top 4.
Top
four go, and then after that, anything can happen.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right, let's jump to a break. It's springtime, like we've been talking about all show long. Great weather. Well, down in Arizona, there's even better weather, and that's where the Mariners are going about their activity.
It actually rained for one day down there.
Oh, man. Crazy. Way to ruin my my segment right there.
Sorry.
We're going to jump over. We're going to jump over and talk about what the Seattle Mariners have been up to right after this. Don't go anywhere. This is Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio.
My hair is kind of different.
Not everyone likes the way I dress. And I don't look like other people.
Me neither. Everyone is different, but no one deserves to be bullied. So be kind, stay positive, and support each other.
Every single day.
Welcome back to Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. Mentally, I'm an athlete. Physically, I'm just a guy. This is Half Athlete Radio. I'm joined by DJ Winter, former football player on the POU football team. And Seth Bershing is in here hanging out with me as well. If you want to call into the studio and talk a little Mariners baseball with us, please go ahead and do so. 253-535-7332. Again, our phone number is 253-535-7332. Check out clips of the show over on YouTube. Type in Half Athlete Radio, and that's where you can see everything we've ever done in short clip form. You can listen to it while you're driving in your car or whatever activities you need to do while you listen to things. Listen to us, Half Athlete Radio on YouTube.
What a better thing to do.
There's nothing. Also, massmedia.pou.edu. That's where you can check out the full version of each and every show we have ever done. Let's jump into it. Let's talk about the Seattle Mariners. And this week, it came out early in the week that Ben Gamel had strained an oblique. It's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks, if not longer. And the move in response to Ben Gamel going down was that the Mariners went out and signed a 44-year-old Ichiro Suzuki, number 51. Will be back in the outfield for the Seattle Mariners. There you go. There's the chant. What do you guys think? See, Ichiro, he's back. Old, but he's back.
I love the move.
Why? Build on that.
Yeah, I will. You got him at a cheap price. Base salary, $750,000 with $2 million possible in incentives. And in 134 games last year, Ichiro batted .255. So that is right there in the likes of Guillermo Heredia, Mitch Haniger, and... Ben Gamel, who had a stellar rookie season. He's just going to provide depth. As I had mentioned, you know, played 134 games. That's a pretty good chunk of games for a 43-year-old. And he works on his craft. He perfects his craft. And I fully expect him to be a key contributor when he's in the lineup.
It's been said that Ichiro will be in the lineup four to five times a week as the season begins, and a lot of people talking about that. Is that too much? Is that not enough? Seth, what do you think about the move first, and how much or how less Ichiro should be playing, should not be playing? What's the deal with Ichiro?
Well, I'm a little biased because Ichiro has always been my favorite Seattle Mariner since I was just a little guy. But I like the move. You needed another outfielder. Why not bring back Ichiro? He needs to end his career as a Seattle Mariner anyway. And he's a true professional. He handles his stuff. He works hard. He stays in shape. And you have to if you're going to play as a 44-year-old. So
yeah,
I love it.
Exactly. Very adamant was Ichiro about playing until he's 50.
Yes.
I don't know if any Major League Baseball teams will take a risk on that. I mean, signing him at 44 was even a little questionable. But I'm with you guys. I like it. I think if anything, it keeps players like Braden Bishop down in the minor leagues to continue to develop. I think over the years we've seen so many Mariners players come up to the big league club way before they're ready. I mean, Mike Zunino, James Paxton, Dustin Ackley. I mean, we could go on and on and on about players.
Chris Taylor.
We should just now be hearing about, but instead they've been regulars on the scene for 4 or 5 years. And it plugs that up, if not just for 1 year, and it gives those people more time to develop. Like you said, DJ, it's a super cheap move, and it's good for the fans. I mean, everyone's thrilled to see Ichiro back, and I think it's cool.
Yeah, you talked about last season how DePoto kind of towards the end of the year made a couple moves just to stay relevant, you mentioned. I think at the end of last year, and I think, you know, this is a this is one of those moves, in my opinion, and probably your opinion, it's a better relevant move because it's going to put people in the stands. I mean, when Ichiro came to his press conference, I heard there were 50 plus Japanese media members just there for the press conference because they wanted to see Ichiro, because Ichiro was really the first big Japanese name to come over and play in the major leagues. So it's a great relevancy move, in my opinion.
Yeah, it is a relevancy move, but it's also a relevancy move that may make more sense from a baseball standpoint than most relevancy moves do, if that makes sense. I mean, yeah. It makes sense, and it's good for what the Mariners are this year, like we talked about. So, yeah, Ichiro.
My main concern with this deal is what's going to happen if the other four Mariner outfielders get healthy. Are you going to be able to keep five outfielders on the roster? You're going to have Ichiro. You've got Gordon, Haniger. We've got Gamel, Heredia. Somebody is probably going to have to go. Do you make a trade? Can you even send any of those guys down to the minor leagues, or do you just have to cut somebody?
I think Heredia has a couple options.
Heredia has probably going to be an option here for Heredia anyway, so he'll be making the trip up and down I-5 from Seattle to Tacoma probably quite regularly, if I had to guess.
Yeah, but I mean, it just goes back to depth, and you talked about Braden Bishop. He's having a great spring camp, but you're going to have that, I want to say, freedom to send Heredia up and down, and you know, odds are one of them is going to get hurt again this year, so you'll be able to bring Heredia right back up when one of those guys goes down, whether it's Gamble again and his oblique, or Haniger and some freak thing like a finger or something. Odds are one of them's going to get hurt again.
I think it's like a nice luxury to have, like you said, DJ, for Heredia to go back down. Mm-hmm. I think it suits Heredia better at this stage of his career to play every day.
Mm-hmm.
He could be on the big league club, but he's going to be watching five games a week.
Yeah.
So you could send him down to Tacoma, and he'll be playing more. The problem people have right now with the Ichiro deal is, one, he's too old, which, okay, I understand that. It's probably the only 44-year-old free agent signing that I will ever be excited for, I hope. I don't know what other move is going to happen in my lifetime, but this is the only one that'll probably happen for. And the other problem that they had was that Ichiro is going to play too often. And that's not going to be the case. It is to start until Gamble gets back, but Ichiro will be that fourth outfielder that hits ninth.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like I said, he's no slump at the plate still. I mean, he batted .255. Last season, like I mentioned before, so I mean, that's not bad. Ichiro's a lot like, if there's any 44-year-old that could do it, it is Ichiro. He's a lot like Tom Brady in that the offseason, there was an article written about him, and they asked a player who had played with him, like, how many days does he take off in the offseason? He said maybe one or two, and Ichiro is right back at it because his diet is so good, his workout plan is so good, he is a perfectionist of his craft. And so if there's any 44-year-old that could do it, it's Ichiro.
Any other thoughts on Ichiro, Seth? You said he's your favorite Mariner of ever.
Yeah. I mean, when I first got into the Mariners, I was probably only like 4 or 5, as early as I can really remember. And Ichiro had really just come over to the MLB maybe a year or two before that. And so ever since then, for a number of years, he was really the only talented player on the Mariners roster.
Mm-hmm.
And you could rely on him. He would get his 200-plus hits every year. He'd get you 30 or more stolen bases every year. You know he was going to be on base once or twice every game. And obviously, he's not going to do that anymore, but he'll still work professional at-bats. He'll work the count. So I think he can, even if he underperforms, he can still give you something.
Yeah,
it's definitely interesting. Ichiro back as a Seattle Mariner. Any other thoughts y'all have
on the Mariners? Mariners?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I really like what I've seen this spring, especially out of Marco Gonzalez. I feel like he's had a couple of solid outings. And I think he's going to win that fourth starting position in the rotation over Rosmo Ramirez, because we still haven't heard anything from him on his shoulder. Some other guys that I think have had pretty good outings is Mike Leake. He's been very solid, and we talked about it before, that pitching staff is going to be probably the biggest question mark for this team going forward. Paxton got bumped around a little bit today. He had 2 runs hit off of him, so I like what I've seen so far.
Seth, your thoughts on the early part of spring training for the Mariners?
Well, you touched on the pitching a lot, DJ, but just looking at the offense, most of your regulars for the regular season are playing really well this spring. And of course, they're facing some AAA, maybe even some AA talent in that mix. But Segura, I mean, Gordon, Cano, all those guys are taking care of business. The only one who's really not thus far has been Nelson Cruz, who up until today didn't have any hits this spring. But I think, DJ, you said during the break that he hit a home run in today's game.
Yep. Solo home run.
Maybe a good sign there that he's going to start to get things going. So if nothing else, the lineup appears to be in full swing.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, full swing. I like that.
They will be an interesting team to watch.
What are your thoughts, Christian?
Oh, my thoughts.
Have you had much time to watch any games or
I've hardly watched anything. I think I watched last night because they were on TV and just kind of listened into everything. But no, it'll be interesting, though. They're definitely one of those fringe teams that, you know, if they get off to a good start, they'll be in the hunt for a wild card spot. I think that I've made my feelings very clear that they're nowhere near the Astros, and they will not be playing for a division crown. That's fair. Not going to happen.
100%.
They're in a weird spot because if they're out of it, they're in a position to where, come July, you know, you could start having conversations about, well, does Kyle Seager need to be a part of this team anymore? Does Edwin Diaz need to be a part of this team anymore? I mean, they could start moving pieces. They're at that point. So whether they're in it or they're not, they're going to be incredibly interesting throughout the summer months.
I think it'll be a lot like the Seahawks are right now if they're not doing as well in July. Because, like you said, they'll have to question a lot of the pieces that they have right now and maybe look to start going somewhere elsewhere.
Yeah, it should be a fun year. Any other closing thoughts on the Mariners before we head break?
If they do end up having to go the seller route, I hope they wait a year or two. Not because I think that they can contend now, but I don't want to have to suffer through the Seahawks and the Mariners rebuilding at the same time.
We've taken enough as Seattle sports
exactly.
fans.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Be interesting to see how things play out. I'm going to head to one more break, last break of the show. When we come back, we'll talk about the University of Washington men's basketball team. Kind of some overachievers this year, and we'll talk about it next right here on Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio.
Welcome to my block party. Glad you can make it.
The only triple-doubles you get come with fries.
Last time you blocked someone, you were online.
I can do this all day. Your moves are just gay.
Using gay to mean dumb or stupid, not cool.
Not cool.
Not in my house, not anywhere.
It's not creative, it's offensive to gay people.
And you're better than that.
Welcome back to Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio. Again, my name is Christian Bond. POU's Half Athlete, joined by DJ Winter, a former member of the POU football team, and Seth Bershing in studio with us as always. If you want to give us a call and talk about the UW men's basketball team, you can do it 253-535-7332. That's our phone number. Once again, our number is 253-535-7332. Go over to YouTube, type in Half Athlete Radio, check out our stuff there. Plenty of great content online, as well as mastmedia.pou.edu. That's where you can hear full versions of every single show we have ever done forever and ever. Amen. You guys wanted to talk about the UW men's basketball team, and they've been pretty competitive this year, have they not?
Yes, they have.
Yeah. Better than the last couple years.
Amen.
That's not a stretch, but yeah. Go ahead. What, fill me in. What's been happening with the UW men's basketball team?
Well, they had a new coach this year. I'm not sure what his first name is, but Coach
Mike.
Hopkins. Mike Hopkins? Yep. Okay. Yeah, they'd been really underachieving the last number of years under Lorenzo Romar, despite having top-tier NBA talent with guys like Markelle Fultz, Marquise Chriss, DeJounte Murray going in the lottery in the last couple NBA drafts. But this year, they really didn't have any of that high-end talent, and yet they reached 20 wins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the first time, I think, It might be the first. I might screw this one up, but I think that was the first time that UW football had won 10 games and UW basketball had won 20 games. And I mean, I couldn't be. Don't fact check me on that one, please. but I mean, I couldn't be more happy with what UW basketball showed this season and gotten everybody excited for what the future holds for Mike Hopkins and that UW program. I mean, you look at last year, they went 9-22, 2-16 in conference, and then this year they were able to reach a mark of 20-12 and 10-8 in conference, which was good for, I think, 7th in the conference. So, you know, this is a great building block. Should never be satisfied with it, but as a UW fan, which I am, I'm pleased with it.
Are they in contention for the NCAA tournament, or are they out of it?
They were on the bubble going into the Pac-12 tournament. They needed to get a couple wins if they were going to make it. They lost the opening round game in overtime to the Oregon State Beavers, yes, of all teams.
Yikes.
A team that finished 10th in the Pac-12.
Yikes.
And yes, they definitely should have won that that game against Oregon State, and Oregon State really was their kryptonite this year. They beat them down there in Corvallis in double overtime, I believe it was, and took them pretty much to the wire up here in the last week of regular season play. So yeah, it does suck, but you know, I'll be happy with a good NIT showing. I just want to see something strong to finish out the season.
Well, if they're considered overachievers, then the fact that they were even considered,
exactly,
for a bubble, yeah, team, I mean, in Coach Mike Hopkins' first year, that says good things moving forward for, mm-hmm, the UW men's basketball program.
Yeah, and one thing I'm excited about is Mike Hopkins is known as a good recruiter, and he has ties back east to New York, where he was the head coach in waiting underneath Jim Boeheim at Syracuse. So I know he can recruit, maybe not as good as Lorenzo Romar, but he's going to bring talent here. I mean, you saw it in the freshman that played this year in Michael Carter Williams, Nas Carter and Hareem Wright, I believe it is. And Jalen Noel, for that matter, who was recruited under Romar but decided to stay. He can bring talent in. And once he brings those guys into a 2-3 system, I feel like we'll see more success.
And I don't want to complain too much because, as we already mentioned, they overachieved this year, but they were just wildly inconsistent. They, mm-hmm, they beat some top tournament teams in Kansas Jayhawks, Arizona Wildcats, and then, as you mentioned, DJ, they flopped not once but twice to Oregon State, who, mm-hmm, was a bottom feeder in the Pac-12.
If there was one complaint about this team that I would have, it was consistency. We saw it early in the season when they beat Kansas 74-65 and then came back and lost by nearly 20 points against Gonzaga at home. So if there was one complaint, I would like to see more consistency next year. And I mean, even though we're talking about, you know, this great season, it's probably not going to be over. Like I said, they'll get an NIT bid, maybe a 3 or 4 seed. So maybe hopefully we can see some consistency in that tournament against it, not teams like Oregon State, but pretty good competition. I mean, NIT is like bubble teams, so NCAA worthy,
yeah,
worthy teams.
Yeah. I don't know,
Christian, you got to watch more basketball, man.
Dude, I did 25 games in January of basketball. I think I watched enough basketball.
College hoops, Christian.
What does being a good recruiter mean, especially in college basketball now? What does that mean?
I mean, you're in, and ESPN has been doing these rankings now for like the last, I want to say, 15 years. So every year, Lorenzo Romar, especially like the last 3 or 4 years of his career, had a top 10 recruiting class coming in, and you don't need much. Especially in basketball, maybe like it's all based on like 3 or 4 recruits. But if you can bring in ESPN's vision, like 4 or 5 star guys into your program, that's a good recruiter.
Well, and as I mentioned with Lorenzo Romar, the former UW coach, he had 3 guys in the last 2 years go in the NBA lottery. So
yeah,
in
that's
the,
another
the first
one.
14 picks of the NBA draft. So I think the proof is in the pudding there.
That was more me being kind of cheeky in regards to the recent NCAA scandals in college basketball.
Oh,
that's fair.
So someone's a good recruiter. Okay.
Yeah.
Means they got some deep pockets and they're handing out some personal loans. Which maybe they shouldn't be doing.
Yeah.
You never know.
And You know, that whole saga is something within itself, but that's not over yet. There's going to be more details, I think, after the season that come out, but that's a whole nother can of worms that we could talk about for a future show.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I always thought that college athletic program should be just like state all-star teams. Like, imagine, like, and I know how unrealistic it is to expect that someone would limit their selection of what school they go to their own state. Like, that's far-fetched, and you can't actually do that. How cool would it be if all the kids from Rainier Beach, Lincoln, Garfield, and every other school in the state decided, ooh, I'm going to play at Washington or Washington State or Gonzaga. Like, that would be fun.
No, it would be super fun, and that's part of being a good recruiter is being able to keep your talent in home, per se, and get those guys from Rainier Beach and Garfield. Because, I mean, we saw all of those guys play last weekend, and that is a lot of the guys on the court on those teams are Division I caliber players. Maybe not all high-level players, but they can go out on a Division I court and, you know, play and compete.
Well, Kevin Porter Jr. for Rainier Beach, he's going to USC next year.
Uh-huh.
Emmett Matthews Jr. From Wilson is going to UConn.
Yeah.
I mean, these kids are going all over the place to play hoops. It's like, what if they were teammates next year? Like, how crazy that would be.
That would be unreal.
It's a cool theory. I mean, it would be
I'm just saying, I know it's super unrealistic, but it'd be fun to be like, oh.
I mean, UW.
Here's our all-star team.
Yeah, UW has guys like Nate Robinson, Isaiah Thomas, DeJounte Murray was from in-house. Who are some more? Christian's holding up the money signs right now. I don't know, but I mean, like Seth said, the proof is in the pudding, and those guys all maybe not winning the first 14 picks, but there's only two rounds of the NBA draft, so there's not that many, and they all were fortunate enough to get drafted.
Marco Fultz ain't that good.
Oh,
has he even played basketball this year? Come on.
I wasn't high on him in college anyways, so. And he wasn't from in-house, so I just kind of forget about him.
Is it Michael Porter Jr.?
Yeah.
Last year? Man. That played 4 minutes of college basketball? Yeah, that would have been great.
No, he's played 16 now. He played yesterday, I want to say it was.
Oh, cool.
He's going to play in the NCAA tournament, too.
Whatever. Jabroni. Jabroni Awards.
Kind of getting off of UW basketball right here.
Well, they did good when they probably shouldn't have. I think that was the overarching story of the year.
Well, can I inform everybody a little breaking news?
Sure.
Please do.
The Dolphins, Christian.
Yes.
You like the Dolphins?
Best team in football.
Just traded their star wide receiver, Jarvis Landry.
Good.
To the Browns.
Good.
Poor guy.
Good, that's fine.
I know.
Yeah, he's going from Miami to Cleveland. Oh, how's that feel?
Just a little breaking news for you.
Terrible.
You know, you heard it here first on Half Athlete Radio.
There you go. Yeah.
Just have to wait and for the announcement tomorrow when Landry decides to retire.
You guys want to retire this show?
Yeah, I'm good. I got volleyball to go to. All
right. Gotta go grab some lunch.
So for DJ Winter and Seth Bershing, this is Half Athlete Radio. Again, check out our stuff on YouTube. It's Half Athlete Radio. Go over there, check things out. For DJ Winter, Seth Bershing, my name is Christian Bond. We are out of here. See ya.